Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on achieving an alien mentality. Amen. It bears repeating over and over and over and over again. We don't belong where? In the house. We don't belong in the house. So you should never hear, as they say in the vernacular, word of life in the house. Pray for me. Papa, I'm still number one. Am I still number one?
You was close after.
April and Jay are different. They number one. I made it comical, but you see what I'm saying? Yeah. We're not in the house. We're not in the hizzy. You know. We're alongside the house. And as God is building through this process of transformation, transforming our minds to think like an alien, understand it is a process that doesn't happen right away. Because if you think about it, we'll lapse into a house attitude in a minute. But he's reminding us, you are alongside the house and not in the house. We're aliens. We're foreigners. We're strangers. And as aliens, as foreigners, as strangers, we are to think differently because we're taught the word of God. We're to act differently because we're live by the word of God. We're to speak differently because the word of God is our speaking. Amen. It is dominated, influenced, and controlled by the word of God. The rest of the world isn't. I used to ask them, but can you see how simple that is? Yeah. If we're taught the word and they are, we're not going to talk the same. Amen. And if our speech matches up with theirs, hello, there's a problem. In the words of writing Nicole Knox, hello. duh. Yeah, examine ourselves.
Amen.
Now, we last took off when we stopped last time. We started talking or continued to talk about milk and meat, or milk of the word and the solid food, meat, solid food of the word of God. Basics of the word of God, of salvation and things of that nature, are considered the milk of the word of God.
Amen.
We told you that milk does begin the spiritual maturation growth process, but if you stay on milk, you will not grow into a spiritual adult who has achieved or is in the process of achieving an alien mentality. Yeah. It's dangerous to stay on milk. Even in the natural, if a child stays on milk, continues to feed on milk and milk only, that child won't grow properly. It's for a time. Milk has its place. I said last week, unfortunately, this concept of Christianity light, L-I-T-E, presenting the gospel light, is really just watered down milk. In which masses of millions are feeding off of that and wondering why they are ill-prepared to handle the sudden changes and circumstances and things going on in life that happen just like that. You're ill-equipped. You don't know what to do. You don't understand any word. If you don't understand the word, where else are you going to go? Just like everybody in the house. To philosophies, to theories, to thinkings, to the world's way of doing and thinking. As you well know, we have one sword, one offensive weapon in our armament, and that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Right. Put that down. Our sword. We only need one weapon. If you only have one weapon, you only need one weapon.
Amen. Thank
you. Let's use it. It is a totally effective weapon. Learned that on Wednesday. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's energized and effective and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing and penetrating to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. But not only there, it is a discerner of the thoughts. It discerns, it judges, it sifts through, it analyzes what we're thinking.
Amen.
Better than we can.
Amen.
And it judges and it sifts through and analyzes our motive and our intent and our considerations.
Amen.
There is no other entity in the universe that can do that. If we need to know ourselves, and we need to know ourselves.
Amen.
You're only going to know yourself through the living word of God.
Hallelujah.
Just what Landon said earlier, you can get all the therapists in the world put together, put them in one room. They won't be able to analyze you anywhere near what the word of God.
Amen.
All you're going to do and be when you come out of that room full of analysts is broke. Because they're going to charge you $800 per hour to tell you what they cannot do. You have in your lap, on your phone, on your iPad, or whatever electronic device, the living word of God. Might I remind you, it is alive, energized, effective. Books by Oprah, books by Sigmund Freud, books by Dr. So-and-so and Dr. Toussaint and this person and that person, those are dead books.
Amen.
Full of dead words that will not produce life in your life.
Amen.
They don't analyze, they don't judge, they don't sift through your very thoughts. Your innermost, inwardmost, that no one knows about, barely you, and really only God.
Amen.
But it'll expose it. It's like you go through a deck of cards trying to find a You know, maybe the ace of club. You know, you sift through everything, looking through every card. That's what the word of God does to every single thought.
Thank you.
It analyzes, it sifts through, it searches through. Then it exposes it. It say, here, this is right here. I'm going to just deal with this one because there's a whole bunch of them in there. But we're going to just deal with this one. Handle that. Go through the deck again. Some of our decks are full of jokers. I got a full deck, but it's all jokers. Yeah, that's the problem. You need to get rid of it. He'll say, handle these. Get rid of all these jokers. Because you're silly, you're not mature, you're surface living. He's telling us to grow up. He's challenging us to grow up, to grow higher. The Psalms, word of life, they are intentional. They're deliberate. They're on purpose. They're ministering to us. They're calling us to go higher in Christ. Yes, I call you Jesus. But look, what am I calling you? You're my redeemer. You're my mender. You're my healer. You're my maker. Hallelujah.
Yes, you are.
That's what you are to me. In other words, there's a personal relationship. Personal. And then that Jesus, you've extended your grace and it has reached for us. And it pulled us from not just from a sea, but a raging sea.
Amen.
And now I'm safe on the solid rock.
Yes.
And that Jesus, whose grace has reached for us, we're going to always chase after him.
Amen.
Why? Because we want to apprehend all that he wants us to apprehend. Because we want to be what he wants us to be. And in order to do that, we must be filled, led, influenced, dominated, and controlled by the Spirit of God. I want to be filled. I want to walk in your way. I've got to honor you in all I do. And in order to do all of that, you got to make me over. Make me over.
Amen.
I'm tired of the evil ways. Tired of it. Make us over. And when he prunes, it's not a joyous process, but it's necessary.
Amen.
It's needful. Amen. And when it happens, have you say after every ouch, say ouch, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Ouch, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Ouch, amen. Ouch, thank you. Because it's needed and he's doing you a great, great, good thing.
Amen.
Because he's pruning away things you don't need. We don't need that. That's why he's pruning it up.
Amen.
You don't need that. You don't need him. her, the job, the money, the this, the that. You don't need it. You don't need this knowledge. What you need is the word, which is me, because I and the word are one. The word is everything. I talked to a young pastor yesterday. We had a great conversation. Love him, young Pastor DeJuan. And we talked for 4.5 hours. In those hours, we had no idea. My wife texting me, his wife calling. Hell, my phones was gone. It was like we was in a whole nother world. It was so anointed. It like there was nobody else in the world but us.
Yes.
4.5 hours. We were in Panera Bread. You'd have thought we was in Word of Life. Because everybody just disappeared, really. Time disappeared. Phones disappeared. When I tell you this ministry is geared on three things, maybe four, if you're not the first, if you don't understand the word of God. Teach it so you can understand it. Secondly, you don't understand just understand, you understand to put it into, to apply it to your life. Third, understand enough so you can teach it to somebody else is fourth thing. And four, understand it enough so where you can defend the faith. When somebody says, why do you believe what you believe? Amen. Why do you have so much hope? This is a crazy world. Mr. Neese, what's going on? Tell me why you can be so joyous in this midst of this crazy world. Be able to break it down and explain it. So four things this ministry is designed to do. If those four things aren't going for, you understand it, put it into your life, teach others, and then defend it when somebody asks you, then I'm wasting my time. We're not in church just to be in church.
Amen.
It's intentionality. We're here deliberately. We're here with a purpose. We're not here because it's Sunday, just because it's Sunday. Yes, it's Sunday, but we're not here just because it's Sunday.
No.
We're here to get the word of God. We're here because what God wants to teach us right now is how to develop and achieve an A-in mentality. Well, then that's what he wants to tell us, then that's what I want.
Amen.
Because God is telling us this. It's not Greg. I don't come up with these subjects. It's God. So take that seriously. I must take it seriously. You must take it seriously. We must take it. This is God through the Holy Spirit telling us, I want you to alter, change, deconstruct, and reconstruct the way you think and exist in this world. I want you to embrace being an alien. Embrace being foreign. Embrace being a stranger, a refugee, an exile. And as black people, to be honest with you, we really ought to be easy to do that because we kind of feel that way anyway. So in Christ Jesus, we are that. But what did God say? But I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Because when your mother and your father forsake you, when the world forsakes you, when the criminal justice system forsakes you, when institutionalized racism throughout various institutions in America forsakes you, then I am there to do what? Take you up. Amen. I got you.
Amen.
I'm your father. I'll be your president.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
I'll be your mayor. I'll be your councilman. And every program I got for you is for your good and for your betterment.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, Jesus.
He is on our side. And who the Lord says I am, that's who I am. I'm not forsaken.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I cried like a baby when that song first came out. I cried and cried and cried. My baby had to come and hug me. I was crying so. Because it was tears of extreme joy. You have not forsaken me. Your programs aren't against me. There is no institutionalized racism in your program, in your economy, in your kingdom. And I'm so glad. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's focus as an alien would focus on things above. And not on things on the earth. And so we're working on developing alien mentality. And so we're getting the tools to do that. Milk won't give you the tools. That's the whole point.
Amen.
Milk begins the process, but it won't ultimately give you the tools. If we're left in that state of feeding on milk and never transitioning to meat or solid food, we'll never grow and mature to a point where we can achieve an alien mentality. reviewing still. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Just reviewing. 1 Corinthians 3, 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men or grown-ups. 1 Corinthians 3, 1. But as to men or people of flesh. Who are they? Infants in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, 1. I couldn't speak to you as a grown folk. I gotta talk to you like a baby who is still a baby in Christ. Verse 2. I gave you milk to drink because you're a little baby still. Not solid food or meat, solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able because you are still fleshly. I think you see there that's crystal clear that as long as you're on milk, you're immature and can't handle solid food. And I'm trying to let you know that you must have a solid food in order to develop something as complicated as an alien mentality. Because the world is absolutely flooding you 24/7 with an in-house mentality.
Amen. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's telling you, be in the house, be with us. And you don't want to look weird or peculiar or so different. Let's just conform. And he says, don't conform to this world. Love not the world. We're doing the exact opposite. We are sacrificing God's glory and honor for our comfort. And we're going to sacrifice our comfort for his glory.
Amen.
Yes, I'll be weird looking. Or thought of. Frankly, I don't care what people think about me. I thank God about it. Take a long time to develop that. I don't care what people think about me. White, black, brown, blue, brown, what institution, nothing. I don't care what you think about me. You got a problem with me, that's your problem, not mine. You're not going to project your mess on me. It took many years to understand that. Because I've been accepted by the greatest acceptor in the universe, God Almighty.
Amen.
Turn. Keep a marker there. I'm going to show you this. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you something. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I think it's verse 3, I think. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse 3. Let's read that down. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's an incredible statement. Even as he chose us, well, look at that. So who cares? Who cares if nobody else has chose you? God has chosen you.
Amen.
My black people, my brown people, my white people, and red people, and yellow people. God has chosen me. If you're born again, he's chosen you. Even if everybody else has rejected you, God has chosen you.
Amen.
Speaking of an alien mentality, that's quite a mindset to have. Ephesians chapter 1, 3. Verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That's when he did it, before the foundation of the world in eternity past. That we would be holy and blameless before him. That's what he chose us to be. That's the end game. To be holy and blameless. He didn't choose us just because we were so cute and fuzzy. He chose us to be holy and blameless before him. In love, verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us. Although there was somewhere in there, and has accepted us in the beloved. Maybe that's a King James rendering. Somewhere in there, it might have been. Okay, yeah. So six is in King James. It's worded differently in the New American. So in King James, it says, verse six, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved, is what that says in King James. But I think the New American Standard, that's to bring glory, wherein He has freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Either way that goes, He's chose us, He's accepted us, He's bestowed on us, He predestined us. An alien thinks that first, eventually, that God has chosen me, and that's more than enough for me.
Amen.
And the old saying is, if God is for you, He's more than the world against you. That's the old school saying.
Amen.
And if the world is against you, but God is for me, that's more than the world against me.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen.
So I don't care what's against us as black people. I don't care what's against us. We got more that's for us than against us, because Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord is what? On my side. And I will not fear. Gangster statement. What can man do unto me? It's like, wow, David. The Holy Spirit speaking through David. Amen. What can man do unto me? The Lord is on my side. I'm worried about this? Because he's going to write it wrong. Sooner or later, every wrong going to be righted.
Amen.
No one escapes the judgment of God. No one. God's gaze is a penetrating gaze that misses or overlooks nothing. He's purely holy. Why you say it like that? Because every single sin will be accounted for. Every single one. Okay, let's go back. So we're talking about milk. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. I don't know how we got there. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. Still talking about milk and what it doesn't do. Does not promote or lead to spiritual maturity if left on milk. Look at verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5. I guess you can almost tie this little section, the dangers of remaining on milk. Okay, thank you. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 5. Yep, thank you. So whenever somebody don't have it yet, just lift your finger and I'll just hold on a minute. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Okay. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Okay. So I think there's a message there, right? Seems like the Lord is saying, there comes a time where I expect you to grow up and be a teacher of the Word of God. Doesn't that sound like what we're talking about? The design of this ministry is to understand it, to obey it, apply it to your life, to teach it. Yeah. Then to defend it. There comes a time where God expects us to reach the stage where we can teach others.
Amen.
He says by this time, you ought to be teachers. There's an expectancy there. Word of life, let me say it again, and I've said it before, so say I now again. That doesn't mean you got to know chapter and verse. You said that before. It doesn't mean that you must know verbatim what the Word of God says. If you got enough of the gist and the concept and you speak that, that is just anointed, that is just alive, and that is just as powerful because it's still the Word of God. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So take the pressure off yourself. I don't know chapter and verse. Amen. Don't have to know chapter and verse. If you've been here for a little bit, you should know enough of concepts to speak that and teach that to someone else.
Amen.
But what this is telling us, that there comes a time that you ought to transition into being a teacher. I'm not talking about in the office of teaching, but enough to know where you can teach someone else. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So I want you to read this again while I read it aloud. So he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. It's almost like there's a schedule. There's an expectation from your heavenly Father. And what this is also saying is that you can delay your own growth by not getting into the word and by not obeying the word. So therefore, when the time comes that you ought to be teaching, keep reading, you have need again for somebody to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You still down on the basic things of salvation and baptism, the basic things. So what is going on? Can you stunt your own spiritual growth? Yes, you can. What's the only spiritual food that your spiritual man is going to eat and drink? What's the only spiritual food?
Word
of God. You don't get it, you cannot grow. You don't get it, you can't advance. To the era being a teacher, having an AA mentality, if you don't get the word, you cannot grow. You don't, your spiritual man doesn't eat, it can't grow. It's just that simple. How does he eat? He eats by, he or she eats, the spiritual man, person, eats by hearing the word of God, meditating the word of God, and then doing the word of God.
Amen.
Let's go over that again. How does a spiritual person eat? How does a spirit eat? It eats by hearing the word of God and understanding it, doing the word of God, hearing, meditating, understanding, and doing. That's how it eats and digests the word of God, pulling out the nutrients into that spiritual man and seeing it grow thereby. Do you understand that when you don't eat, you can't hear? If you're not hearing, you don't understand, you're not understand. If you're not hearing, you're not meditating because you didn't hear it, so you can't meditate on nothing. And if you're not meditating, you're not doing, there's nothing to do because you didn't hear it. Simple, simple. And God Almighty is expecting us to get to a point and we're teachers and not be taught again the elementary things. Let's keep reading. He said, and you have come to need of milk and not solid food. Let's read it again, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. So we got to go back to feed you milk. Got to keep you on milk. Keep reading. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Right? When you stay on milk, you're not accustomed to the word of righteousness. You're not going to get the deeper things. Achieving an alien mentality is a meat subject, is a meaty subject. That's solid food. You'll never get there. When you're talking about changing a mentality, you're talking about changing the core of who a person is. That's deep. That's not milk. If you barely know that you're saved and understand salvation, then, you know, and I'm not talking about, no, everybody's at different levels. You know, some people haven't been there that long. I'm just talking about what he's saying of why we need to eventually transition from milk to meat or solid food. That's what I'm saying. Now, the shoe does fit some, then tie it on and wear it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll leave that for a moment. We'll leave that for a moment. So again, milk does someone staying on milk, in other words, just ingesting milk, does not further spiritual growth and maturity. Again, it begins the process, but it doesn't further spiritual growth and maturity. We got that? On the other hand, meat / solid food does. So let's talk about now the benefits of meat. We talked about really the limitations of staying on milk concerning our spiritual growth. We talked about that. Now let's talk about the benefits of meat, the meat of the Word of God, or the solid food of the Word of God, as it is used in shaping our thinking, as it is used in and how it shapes the intellect of a child of God, a spirit-filled, spirit-led person. The benefits of the meat of the Word of God and how it shapes our thinking and our intellect. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Yep, take your time. Yep, Psalm 119, verse 97. Okay, good? Okay.
Verse 97.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Now you see the word law. Law is a synonym for what?
Word.
The Word of God, for the Word. Oh, I love your word. Same thing. Oh, how I love your word. We got to get to that point. Because if you are born again, you should have inherent within you a love for the Word of God. I love the Word of God. That's why it will always have preeminence here in this ministry. It will always have first place in this ministry. Because apart from the Word of God, you're nothing, I'm nothing, we're nothing. We're just like everybody else. Scrambling out here, trying to interpret the circumstances of this world through secular humanistic lenses. And that's a sad place to be. Oh, how I love your law. How do I show my love for your law? It is my meditation for 5 minutes. For 2 hours. That's a good thing. It says all the day. So all day I'm meditating your law, your word, because I love it so. I love my wife and I think about her all the day. The point I'm making is when you love something or someone, they stay on your mind. It's not hard to. I love your law. Father God, help us to love your law. That we will willingly, readily, habitually meditate on it all the day. Thank you. Verse 98. Your commandments. Now that's another synonym for the Word of God. Verse 97 is law. 98, your commandments make me wiser. Oh, now we said the benefits of getting the meat or the solid food of the Word of God. Here's the first benefit. It makes me wiser than my enemies. Hallelujah. For they are ever mine. What's ever his? Your commandments. He's taking personal ownership of the commandments. He said, they are ever mine. They belong to me. Everyone in here ought to be selfish. You ought to be selfish. Your word belong to me. No, it don't belong to me, man. But the good news is, that's enough to go around. Everybody can eat.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. You listening to me? Everybody can eat. There's enough succotash and cornbread to go around. I don't like succotash, but amen. It's enough to go around. When you eat, you can eat some more. It never runs out. This is my plate right here. Get your own. Excuse the ghetto, but me and Lance joke about the pipe in the smoker's basement. That crack pipe go around. Sorry about this. And it's puff puff pass. I'm just puff puffing. I ain't passing nothing.
Amen.
That's a bad analogy. But you know what I'm saying. I'm being crazy. I keep praying. Number one, I'll just reach the number one thing. The point I'm making is be selfish. Get your word. Take your hit, if you will. And don't pass nothing. Empty out the basement. Hey, this dude ain't saying nothing. Right. This belong to me. Papa back to laugh. I know. Jay, I done told him. I know he have. Be selfish.
Yes.
We talked many years ago in the basement. There's a time to be selfish.
Yes.
This is that time. I love how the psalmist is selfish. He's and possessive. He said, they're mine. These commandments that's making me wiser, they are mine. They belong to me. I accept this. Not like, I barely want it. Yeah, it's okay. You know, we just treat it lightly. And it's, you know, we in America, we just so spoiled.
Yeah.
A Bible in certain areas of the world will get you killed. Pages of the Bible are like billions of dollars to the people of God. A page of the Bible. We got them in stacks collecting dust. And God had the unmitigated gall, the nerve, to invent an electronic Bible where we can keep our aside all the day.
Amen.
And we still looking crooked, cross-eyed, and crazy. And the Chinaman or the China woman or the person in Afghanistan or certain parts of Russia who living on half of a piece of a page, living a holy life and we are.
Yes.
Who got access to the entire Bible. Shame on us. Prayer, let's do another prayer. Father God, we thank you that we take full possession of your commandments. That we say with joy that they're mine.
Yes.
We embrace your word. And in so doing, we thank you that it makes us wiser than our enemies. In Jesus' name. Look at verse 99. This is the second benefit. First one in 98 makes me wiser. Second 99, I have more insight than all my teachers. Wow. You were taught by your teachers, but the word of God gives you more insight than all your teachers. That's why it's frustrating living or working and working out in the world. Because you got Holy Ghost. You already see how to do this whole thing. It's already done. I see it. But you got to put up with house knowledge. Because they don't know. House knowledge is limiting knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge of the native is limiting. Doesn't see. It doesn't have the insight. It's not wise. You're hearing folks make these decisions. You're sitting there like, what in the world? Don't you see that? That's crazy. But you have the insight. You're wiser. I speak about my wife, how wise she is. But that comes from the Word of God. But it comes from the Word of God. It you got it. Lord, help us. Go back to verse 97. I love your law. You're not going to just get the benefits out of this by just casually having some sort of feeling about the law. Loving it, remember, love in the word, biblical love, is not feeling. It's not ooey-gooey. It's action.
Amen.
It's a deliberate, on-purpose action.
Yes.
It's a decision followed by an action.
Thank you.
So he says, I love your law. Well, prove it. I'm meditating on the day. They are ever mine. I take possession of it. So when I do that, then you get the benefits of being wiser and having more insight. Does that make sense? They're prerequisites for getting those benefits.
Amen.
Love is action. Deliberate action. Once you love the law, then you'll show it by meditating that law.
Amen.
And ultimately, for the purpose of what? Doing it. So it's called his law. It's called commandments. The benefits are wiser and more insight. Let's go to the third synonym and also the third synonym. Verse 99. I have more insight than all my teachers, comma, for your testimonies. Now it's a law, commandment, testimonies are my meditation. Notice that at the root of the love is meditation.
Yeah.
Loving the law leads to meditation.
Yes.
And I gave you a real simple, real world, true example. I love my wife, so I meditate on her all the day. Literally, I'm thinking about her all the time. Your love ought to prompt action. If you love the law, you're going to meditate. It's going to stay on your mind.
Amen.
A lot of us, or too many of us, I'm going to say that. It's not the case. The Word of God just isn't on our mind enough. It's on our mind at times, but not enough. We want to get that to be where it's constant, consistent, and continually on our mind. Does that make sense, Word of Life?
Amen.
That means there's intentionality there. There's deliberate, there's purposeful, deliberate deliberation. Father God, remind us of when our minds are floating and our hearts are this way and we're wandering all over the place in our mind, that you bring us back to your word. Remind us to meditate your word.
Amen.
Help us to develop a true love for your word.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. And if we have a true love already, help us to develop a deeper love then.
Amen.
For your word.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Verse 100. I understand more than the aged. So people who are older than you, you wonder why you got knowledge and age. 400 years old, you 20. And you know more than them because of the Word of God. And by the way, you don't flaunt that. You don't get arrogant with it. You respect the aid. You respect your teachers. You respect,
Amen.
You know, you still love your enemies.
Amen.
Even though you have wiser than enemies, you know you have more insight than all your teachers. And even though you understand more than the aid, you still have a respect about that because you are still a child of God.
Yes. Amen.
You feel the Holy Spirit. Under his influence and his direction, he's going to lead you and guide you to be respectful and loving and kind and gracious, even though you know more. Because the Word of God warns that knowledge puffs up. It can make us prideful.
Amen.
Let it not be so named once among you, among me, among us. As Holy Spirit led children of God.
Amen.
I have the knowledge. I clearly see what's wrong. But Lord God, how do I communicate it? In love.
Amen.
Stay humble, Word of Life. But realize that's what's happening. When you see things, you have insight. Realize it's because you're in the Word.
Amen.
And you're beginning to meditate the Word and obey the Word. And these are the benefits. That's why you can't get stuck on milk. Hey, we just getting started. And before you know it. Well, that's enough to meditate on. We'll stop there. Verse 97, let's read it again. 197 to verse 100. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. And by the way, since you're wiser than your enemies, whoever that is, whether it's institutionalized enemies or a particular personal enemy, don't be stupid with them. You get the pun. I mean, you get it. You're wiser than that. Don't let them drag you down there.
Amen.
He said, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome what evil with good. That's being wiser. If the enemy hunger, feed them. If you thirst, give them drink. Be wiser. Since we are wiser, be wiser. Be wiser. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I love that. Your commandments are mine forever. Verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers. Why? Because your testimonies are my meditation. I meditate and they don't. It's giving me insight. Verse 100, I understand more than the aged or the aged because I have observed your precepts. Oh, what does observe mean? To do. That's why. I meditate, I understand, and I do. Father God, help us to meditate, to love, to meditate, to love to the point of meditation, and then go from there to love to the point of meditating all the day. And then help us to observe, to do all that you commanded. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.